Welcome to Side B, Reflect and Debrief. Our theme for this season is conversations that need to be had, recalling our past and reanalyzing our present to rectify our future.
Side B contains the third and last section of our show, The Subway. On this side of the episode, we review the content that we speculated on during the dose of the day,
which is the segment on our A side that contains our main theme and topic for the show.
Please leave your name and phone number after the beep.
Hey, guys.
I just want to say something out there.
I'm a fan of the New York Dome.
Yeah, y'all already know. What? I'm a skeleton. Fuck out of here. Let's go.
What's good? What's good, everybody? 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 Hey, hey, what's good?
All right, now we're going to get into the subway section, and the segments in this section correlate with a few of the train lines we have in New York City MTA subway system. As we reflect and debrief, each train will serve as a vessel for transporting us closer to a conclusion that might help rectify our future. So we're going to transfer on to the one train, and this is one for fun. And did you guys have any fun with this topic? Why and why not?
I had a great time with this topic because it's something that is it's something that needs to be talked about. There's a lot of sick that has been given to us, that has been passed down to us as colored folk, and we need to start uncovering that so we can be who we supposed to be out here. So,
preach it.
I think it's dope when you have conversations like this with even just like people of color. Like, there's 3-4 different perspectives just right here.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. We all about the same color, still walking different paths. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just dope to give everybody a chance to be heard, because that was the whole topic.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun for that same reason. I think just in general, we also have to make these conversations a part of our regular conversation, you know,
right.
Like these topics, and that they are fun. Not like, it's not about the topic being fun, but about having making important conversations with your friends fun, and like, so that y'all could
help each other.
Yeah.
Make them. It healthy. Make mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Make it possible.
Yes.
And yes.
Not taboo.
If it's normalized, then it's possible.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because people are like, that's too deep. Well, ain't nobody got. I ain't about to talk about all that. Yes, you are.
I feel like our generation does talk about this a lot,
well,
though.
Yeah.
Like, and that's dope because we don't expect it from one another, but I think it's on everybody's mind.
Right.
See, know? The thing about me is that my father is only 20 years older than me. So my aunts and uncles are not very much older than me, but they are from a different generation.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the difference in our generation and theirs, and then the following generation, because then my siblings are from the generation that precedes us, or I think I used that word wrong. Oh, well, the one that's coming after us.
Yeah.
So, and I have, even being in New York City, I have seen and heard things from our younger colored folk that they think in ways that, like, just recently I just told my little cousin, don't be letting the white people call you nigga. Don't do it. And he was like, well, I said, no, they shouldn't even feel comfortable saying that to you. So don't look, you know what I mean? Like, just educating them and letting them know the real, because what happens is, you know, because what happens is that with this all inclusive thing, they start to wipe away some of the truth as well. Like, that's another mission that, you know, the not good Trump gene has, is
right.
to wipe away the history. Oh, well, slavery was so long ago, and you know, and all that, and
mm-hmm.
that stuff isn't happening now, and oh no, but people still getting hung, and people still getting called all types of crazy stuff, and still being beaten and denied because of just the way that we look. You know what I mean? So not hanging on the fact that, you know, things in the past, quote unquote, happened, but just realizing the truth of where we come from and where we are today and where we need to go. The real mm-hmm. truth of that. So, yeah.
All right. Let's transfer over to the two train. This is two for your mistakes. Were you ever mistaken about the subject matter or made any mistakes with from above involving it?
Yeah, I feel like I'm still making mistakes today as far as the topic goes. I can admit that. You know, like just as far as like toxic masculinity, yeah, that's something that I notice in myself all the time. And it's like I have to take a step back and realize like, oh, wait, like that's not who I want to be. You know what I mean? But that's unfortunately what a lot of us have seen growing up. So it's kind of inbred in a lot of us.
Right. Well, I'm happy and proud that you're making that step. Because yes, that's realizing it is the first step.
So. And that's not, I would change the wording to not, that's not who I want to be, but that's not who I am.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Don't claim that and say, I am this. You know what I mean? And those things that I seen were lies, and that is not who I am.
Yeah.
I am this. But you meant, did you mean like, as far as, have we been confused on it as far as like today or just through life? Addie.
What do you mean?
Like the question, was it,
were you ever mistaken about this subject matter, or
you mean while like we're today talking about
or
it?
Yeah, like today?
Oh
yeah.
No, okay. No. Okay.
Yes. All right, we're gonna transfer over to the five train. This is five for guys. How does this subject matter hinder or help men?
How does it help us?
Yes.
I'm gonna let you go first.
Me?
Yes, we have two different.
How does it hinder or help men? I mean, it's helpful because it's a dialogue. That's what's really most important. It's a dialogue. Not, I mean, just because you are giving your side of the story doesn't mean that, you know, that's going to take precedence. But it's about the conversation. It's about hearing what you have to say, and you hearing about what I have to say, and you hearing about what I have to say, and me hearing about what you have to say.
Right.
That's really all that could be done. So it's just a conversation that's helpful. And it's helpful for four people from four different perspectives to get up here and just be honest, you know?
Right.
So,
yep.
I'm not going to say a way that the conversation can hurt, but a way that people can use it against us is that using certain, kind of how the Bible is used and pointing out, like using certain scriptures to like demonize certain things. So it's like, instead of taking what for what it is as a guide to heal, people can take it at, and pick at it. And then like, well, see, look, you guys are, you are violent because, you know, you do have all these issues and you are attacking people. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that people should just be aware what, when having conversations, it is not about blaming and pointing fingers and, you know, trying to find the fault and or you accepting or admitting your shortcomings. That is not like an excuse for someone to then label you as, you know, angry black man. You know what I mean? It's or damaged black man. It's healing black man. It's, you know, evolving black man. So, you know, just make sure that don't nobody try you, because I've had that happen to me personally, where somebody try you because you're being honest and they're like, well, look, you just said it yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, but I'm saying that these are my faults and I'm healing that. You know what I mean? I'm going better with that. So definitely don't let nobody try you like that.
Yes. All right. We're going to transfer over to the sixth train, and this is Chicks for Chicks. How does this subject matter hinder or help women?
Well, hi.
Yes. Yes.
I think in general, when we talk about men, we are talking about something that often hinders women, because we often talk in a binary, which puts us men and women as exclusive two things. But I think when we have a conversation about masculinity and male subjects in general, what it does, it offers us the chance to open this conversation to what are good traits about masculinity, and like, and what are the things that we want to preserve in that definition, and what are ways in which we can improve upon it so that we create a better space to have better men in the future. I think that's what's helpful, is that like we have the conversation and then we push a better ideal and have better like future. And the only hindrance is that we get fools in office and in all kinds of public service and all kinds of private service who run a lot of shit who are terrible. And whether they are male or female, it's often this like masculine trait that pushes that negativity that like is very much a hindrance.
Yes. All right. We're going to transfer over to the L train, but I think we kind of did this of like what lesson we learned from this subject matter. Oh. I think we kind of touched base on that a little bit.
I don't want to go first to last because I keep going first to last. Somebody go in.
Well, here, I wanted to say, so I had said this and I think, I forget, you read the text message that you read. Like, I had said, like, I was really obsessed with Daryl Moore. He had said this quote that, like, I had highlighted and I was like, oh, okay, well, before I want to say it. Yes. But he said, black girls are expected to mother black boys who are and aren't their sons. And black boys, queer or straight, often demand our mothers, sisters, friends, and partners meet and even exceed that expectation. All boys are taught that the world is theirs, but black boys learn early on that the world they are required to rule is the home, the place often sustained by the visible and invisible labor of black women and girls we share homes and relationships with. The home is likened to a kingdom black boys are expected to provide for, fight to protect, and lord over. Outside the home, the streets black boys navigate are controlled by the state and wealthy, and black boys' freedoms are restricted and policed. This is in his book, No to Ashes in the Fire. Yes. But it really, I think that is a lot of the conversation we've been having is like that masculinity and like manhood is so different when we talk about misogyny for black people and for white people. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad that like how, I don't know, like when we have this conversation about everything, it's like how do we solve that problem of like what these people trauma has have like the like generational trauma that is like black manhood.
So you're saying how do we change the way that we perceive our
like and like yeah it's like it's not just like it's like I think are we like when we adjust in like this topic of like black manhood versus like manhood in general, like, well, and I think black men want to be so much stronger. And I think that's what we have talked about so much today. And
well, it's
cause they don't have as much. Yeah.
Well, it's again, it's because of our manhood was given to us. Our masculinity was given to us when that is the lie. It was given to us by the slave owners or the colonists and things like that. They took away everything. That's why we did not know who we were. You know, we still have to learn who we are because they stole it from us. That's the only way that you can control a living thing like that is if you still, like an elephant can, the way that they train an elephant is that they tie them up when they're young and then they don't allow them to move. And then when them things are over tons and tons or however much they weigh, they can keep them still stuck with a string. So you confuse the mind. Yeah. And that is what has happened. So they stole the identity. And we have to learn that that is not our identity. And all the things that we, you know, that's all the rhetoric in the movies and the all of the cartoons that came out back in the day of slave and all that. That was all a ploy to confuse us and to also manipulate the minds of other people that did not know black.
Yeah. And we have to learn a different way to be strong now.
And that is why I said you have to realize that that masculinity is a lie. You know what I mean? That is not the truth. And the thing about masculinity is that I own masculinity. Why? Because I am a man. So therefore, whatever my masculinity is, that is what it is. Mm-hmm. My masculinity is different from his sitting next to me. You know what I'm saying? Because I define that. Masculinity is defined differently between different cultures. Mm. Masculinity is defined differently between different households. My father is not picking up no dishes and washing no dishes, but my stepfather will. Mm. And that's not wrong on either end.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because that if that is okay in your home, in your household, that's okay. You know what I'm saying? It's contributing to the well-being of everyone. But that is my point. It is who you like. For instance, again, I'm from Ohio, and there was I believe there was probably this boy was probably, now not a lot of people can tell, but there was this boy that was on the basketball team, and I'm believe he was like Latin, some type of, you know, and you know, in that culture, guys can wear their hair long. That's a very normal thing. We're in the Black Ohio culture, Midwest. That's not, that's something that's taboo. That's not masculine. That's girly. And there was this woman commenting on it, and he was a child. Why he got all that long hair like a girl? And even just something in my mind said as a young kid, like, that's how they wear their hair. You know what I'm saying? So, those type of things, you can't give someone their masculinity. You can't give someone their femininity. They create that. Mm-hmm. This is how I express my masculinity. This is how I express my femininity. You know what I mean? So that is something that we have to learn as truth and erase the lies.
That's hard.
Yes.
That's really hard.
Yes.
That's a hard lesson to learn. Because it's like you were saying, you know, the story you was giving about the elephant. This is something that, like, that aggression is something that, like, as a Black boy, like, you go through life feeling like this is how I have to be just to get through the day. Because people want to try me all day, every day. It's always something. But you also realize at some point that that same behavior is self-destructive.
Mm-hmm. And they taught you that so you can be self-destructive, so they can put you where they want you. But I would offer you this, is to say, I don't care, just like the boat in the water, I don't care what you say, because that's you. And as long as I don't let that in here, in my boat, I'm good.
Yeah. I just do want to, like, the reason I brought the quote up is because it really made me think of the question that, well, what was said earlier about there are reasons why these things are happening, why this behavior is perpetuated and stuff. And just acknowledging that, just acknowledging our past and that, and seeing the problems with that and how we're having this conversation is how we move forward and, you know, make it better. Absolutely. And I think,
and
that's and I think, like, so if we talk, like, in terms of the, yes, I brought up, like, because if those are the lessons learned, it's like, that's what I always learn in these conversations. It's like, we gotta see what's been going wrong. We gotta have those conversations so that we could fix it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And transferring over to our art training, I think that's, you kind of touched base on it, on how does the subject matter affect our relationships moving forward with our, with the world, each other, et cetera.
Yeah. Mm. Just basically getting the information out. You know, I know
we're more aware. We're more informative.
Yeah. I spoke to a few of my relatives, and you know, they have a lot of, like, emotional. Everybody has emotional crap going on, and I was like, you have to fix that. And they're like, different people at different times. They're like, how? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's very important.
Right. So going forward, we just got to keep pushing the message too, mm-hmm. talking to it to everybody as much as we can. But that wraps up this episode, guys.
Hey. Yo, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you guys for coming through the Dose House.
Thank you for
Thank you guys for having us.
Yes.
Got a dose of dope.
You can find us at you can find us at The New York Dose on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere. And you can find me at Adeloso09 and at Adeloso on Twitter and the Snap.
You could find me on Twitter, King Tate. That's KINGT, the number 8 and an underscore. Same thing for Instagram. Holla at me.
So on Instagram, it's L-E-L Marie and then 2 underscores. Look for me, a little Black girl. And then also definitely check out my series, JustDinner _ on Instagram, or just JustDinner on SoundCloud and iTunes.
And you can find me, Justin. My Instagram is my first name, Justin B19909. And you can also find me on the Taste Your Tongue podcast, TYT. So after you're done listening to this, go listen to us.
Yes. Hello. And our special promotion for this episode is Derek's poetry book that's been out for almost over a year. And it's... I love ED. And it's called GNHB. Oh man, I love you. And this episode was produced by the board of TNYD and hosted by the Carbon Dioxide Network. And our audio engineer for this episode was Moi, and our audio editor is Bruckner. And photos, YouTube footage and social media coverage for this week was captured by CC. And shout out to the rest of the team over at YouTube, Monet, Max, Mahaya, Eden, Julu, and CC. And don't forget to stay dope and stay dose and stay New York. It's the New York Dose, baby. Aye.
That's the end of our Side A episode.
Tune in later this week to catch the B-side and the completion of this episode.
Until then, stay dope.
Stay dose.
And stay New York.
It's the New York Dose, baby.
What's up, everyone? I go by Mars, and I run the Taste Your Tongue podcast. Taste Your Tongue is an expression originating in the West Indies, which means think before you speak. Sounds simple, right? And yet there's so many people nowadays who forget to do so. On Taste Your Tongue, we make it a point to combat this reckless habit. So tune in every Monday on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud as we think about everyday problems and then speak about possible solutions for them. Everyone speaks, but not everyone tastes their tongue. And that's where we come in.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Fuck out of here.
Fuck out of here.
I know they said something about some beef that we had.
This shit is dumb good.
You mad tight, yo.
Hey, yo, that ass be?
Better light. Yo, that shit is whack.
This shit about to be lit.
Nah, you farting, my nigga. Look at me again and you gonna catch these hands.
You big mad or little mad? You would have thought you was getting that money back.
That's mad OD.
I'm not pussy. Fuck out of here.
Out of here, my nigga. Like, what?
Estamos aquí, estamos lindo.
Pero like the fuck, miss, like, hey yo.
Bye, but like,
DK.